Blog Talk Radio.
First Peter 1:15, as he which is holy, which has called you, is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, or in all manner of living. Hallelujah. And the only way that you can do that is when you fall in love with Jesus.
Separation. Separation from sin, separation from the world. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 14, which says simply, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Be ye holy, for I am holy, God says. If we expect to have the Holy Spirit dwelling in our lives, it makes a lot of sense. We must be holy. Holiness really means being Christ-like. Holiness means every aspect of living for God. It's a privilege to be holy. It's a privilege not to be bound to sin. It's a privilege not to be addicted to alcohol. It's a privilege not to be addicted to smoking. It's a privilege not to be bound by lust and bitterness and envy. It's the most powerful thing in the world that when somebody treats you wrong, instead of treating them wrong back, you can say, look, nobody's going to manipulate me. Nobody's going to tell me how to think. The devil can't make me do this. No other person can provoke me into an ungodly situation. But through the power of the Holy Ghost, I can respond with a meek and gentle and quiet and peaceable spirit under all circumstances.
Well, don't y'all over there think of, y'all say you can't do this, you can't do this, and you can't do certain things.
It don't matter
how long you talk to them. Until they get a revelation of who God is, they're not going to understand what holiness is. It's a must. It's not just an optional way, another plate building to get into and just say you're a believer, but it is the only way to travel and to become a true, full-hearted believer.
Well, welcome. Happy New Year 2014. I hope you all had a very happy holiday. We are glad to be coming to you live, Kingdom of God Ministries. We are just believing God is going to do some mighty and powerful things in the year 2014. And our theme for this year, 2014, means salvation and deliverance. So I'm expecting God to do the miraculous. I believe that he's going to be setting people free, setting the captives free, bringing people into the kingdom of God. Tonight we will be talking about, let's talk about love. You know, it's a word that is loosely throughout here. Everyone, you know, in Hollywood or on television, they quick to say, well, I love you. And I mean, if you pattern yourself after Hollywood, the way they say they love each other, you would be in for a big shock because they go from partner to partner. But I just want to say, make an announcement that I have been married to the love of my life for 40 years, and I thank the Lord for that. But we're going to talk about the agape love, God's love. But before we get into our program, let's always open up with prayer. Father God, we just want to thank you today. Thank you for seeing a new year. We thank you, Lord God, that you put your hand of protection around us and kept us throughout the whole year of 2013. Lord God, we know that some people went into the, didn't see 2014. Lord God, we know that some was called home, and we pray that they had salvation in you, but there were others who died who didn't know you. And Lord God, we ask that as we go forth and bring your word throughout all the nations, people listening all over the world, we let that your word touch, permeate, penetrate the heart, for men will see their error and turn to you. We're not talking about religion, but we're talking about Jesus Christ. Lord God, we ask that you continue to use us, that we continue to be the vessels that you would like to use to bring people into the kingdom, because as we say so many times, it's not about us, but it's about you. So, Father God, with that, we just want to thank you. We thank you for your many wonderful blessings. We thank you that you saved me, that you picked me up out of the muck and the mire, and you saved me. And, Lord God, we ask that the love you showed to us, that we would demonstrate your love in our lives to our fellow man. In this we pray, amen. So like I said, we're talking about, let's talk about love. And you know, growing up, you had songs, we still have songs about love and all type of love, but when we talk about the agape love, the love of God, how God loved us unconditionally, how he sent his only begotten son, you know, that takes love, because I'm a mother and a grandmother, and it would be hard for me to offer one of my children up for people who don't even sometimes even appreciate you. So I know as a mom, it's hard, but think about what God did. He sent his only begotten son to die for the sins of the world. Now, that's some love. With that, I want to go over here to James, because our theme is coming out of the book of James. And I will read it, and as we read, I want to reflect it, and I want you to do a self-examination of your own heart. You know, a lot of times, like if we pattern ourselves after the word of what God say true love is or true religion, then we won't have any openings for, we see a lot of separatism in the body of Christ. We see a lot of racism in the body of Christ. You know, sometimes the world outshines us when it comes to love. We might say, well, they don't really know what love is. But when you look at their assemblies, they can get together and they can practice unity. But yet, you go to your churches, separate, white churches, black churches, Muslim churches, Jewish churches, Hispanic churches, Chinese churches, but yet we talk about love. Our common denominator should be Jesus Christ. He should be what we preach. And in Jesus Christ, there is no division, and I'm going to get into that, because we have too much separatism in the body of Christ. How do you say you love God, but you can't stand your brother or your sister whom you see every day? That's why we say it when we continue this, one of the fruits of the Spirit. Actually, he says the greatest fruit of the Spirit, which was love. All right, let's go to James. And I'm coming out of James, the first chapter, the 19th verse. It says, be doers of the word. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whosoever looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. If any man among you seem to be religious, and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is in vain. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Now, that's what the Bible says true religion is. You see, we can dress ourselves up and we can look holy. We can even act or be pretentious. But the Lord said true religion, that's how you define true religion. It shouldn't be about a denomination, or it shouldn't be about who I'm affiliated or what church I go to. Jesus said over here in Matthew, how will they know that you're my disciples? He said, the love you have one for the other. Listen to this. He said, while he yet talked to the people, behold, his mother and his brothers stood without, desiring to speak with him. Then one said unto him, behold, thy mother and thy brother stand without, desiring to speak with thee. But he answered and said unto them, to him that told him, who is my mother and who is my brethren? And he stretched forth his hand toward his disciples and said, behold, my mother and my brethren, for whosoever shall do the will of my Father, which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother. You see how Jesus, he didn't want to bring any favoritism in the body. He told you we're all in the family of God. When you do the will of God, you are in God's family. It's not based on your color. It's not based on what church you go to or what denomination. I am sick and tired of all these labels. That is what divides the church. That is what divides the kingdom of God. You can't be with me because you're of this persuasion or you of this color. Or, yeah, I'm going there because I see so much discrimination in the body of Christ. But yet we say we have love. Jesus already identified the true attributes of what love is. You can't say you love God and you don't love your brother, or you don't love your sister. Who is my mother, my sister, my brother? Those that do the will of my Father. We cannot continue, saints. We got to stop this. We got to stop this hypocrisy. If you, I beg of you, if you are sitting up in a church and it's been one particular color or all you can remember, you need to go out and invite somebody of another color to your church. You need to stop that racism. Stop it. Because that's not the kingdom of God. Stop it. Teaching that it's just one particular race of people that'll make it in. That's not God. God said, he didn't put an emphasis on color. He said, those that do the will of my Father. Christians are taught how to conduct themselves. This is what James was saying. We are taught how to conduct ourselves. when we are under the cross. There are several graces and duties that are recommended, and those who endure their trials and afflictions, that's the apostles here, directs, are pronounced blessed and assured of glorious reward. But those sins which bring suffering or weakness and faults, men are chargeable with under them, are by no means to be imputed to God, who cannot be the author of sin. Do you see what I'm saying? So if you don't have love, that is sin. And you're saying you're a believer. If you have discrimination or you bias, that is not God. That's sin. That's why I told you earlier, we need to look in the mirror. We need to do some self-examination of our own hearts. And say, Lord, if there's anything in me that's not like you, if I'm not seeing my brother and my sister the way you see them, Lord, create in me a clean spirit. Renew, Lord. Change me. Change my heart. You know, and I remember the story, I believe, is Amazing Grace, how the man, he would transport the slaves until he got a true revelation of who Jesus was. And then he stopped. But he was one of the biggest slave traders around. But when he came and he found and Jesus touched his heart, he wasn't the same. See, that's what we need. We need a true, that's why I say true religion was what I mentioned. True religion, visiting the sick, taking care of the widows. Loving your brothers and your sisters. That's true religion. I'm not impressed by what church you go to or what denomination you go to, but I want to see the love of God operating in your life. I want to see the love of God. If you say that you are God's disciple, then there should be some fruit or evidence of your fruit. Number one, he said you need to know how to bridle your tongue. See, because true love, you ain't going to be full of wrath. You ain't going to just lash out on anybody, curse somebody out. You know how when you're driving, road rage. See, that's not true religion. But you go to church. But you say you're a believer. You're quick to anger. You're quick to curse somebody out. You're quick to snap somebody up. Hey, I'm preaching to myself too. If the shoe fit. What are the things that God says should identify us as believers? Not by what is over your doorpost. Those are just signs. But the signs should be where the whole world can see. And the world should look at us and say, boy, look how they love each other. Look how they get along with each other. Because the common denominator is Jesus Christ. And one thing I want to say, we all got our own differences. That's what's unique about us. But our differences shouldn't keep us separated. Did you hear what I said? I said we all have our differences, but our differences shouldn't keep us separated. Amen? He said everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry, because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save. We've been talking about the fruits of the Spirit. When you plant fruit, first you have to plant it before it can grow. The Word of God is what plants the fruit in your life. It has to grow. It has to take root. You see what I'm saying? Do not merely listen to the Word and so deceive yourself. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror
And after looking at himself, he goes away and immediately forget what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. Those who consider themselves religious and yet do not keep a tight rein on their tongues deceive themselves, and their religion is worthless. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after the orphans and the widows in their distress and keep oneself from being polluted by the world. You might say, well, Sister Montgomery, how do we keep ourselves unpolluted from the world? By staying in the Word, by being doers of the Word and not hearers only, practicing the Word, what the Word says, living a holy life. I didn't say there's a lot of legalism, but I just said living a life that's pleasing to God. That's how you stay unspotted from the world. Because believe me, the world is looking, and the world could probably tell you more about the expectations of a Christian than you think they know. But one thing they're quick to say, oh, I went to one church and they didn't have love. You've been to some of them kind of churches. You go there, it's cold, it's isolated. But all of them supposed to be believers, but everybody was cold. They didn't want to hardly shake your hand, snooty, uppity. That is not the Spirit of God. One thing that should identify God's people is love. He said, I give you a new commandment, that you would love. You see what I'm saying? I was trying to find that. I believe it was in Matthew. But I wanted to bring that out about the new commandment that Jesus gave us. Because, see, a lot of the Pharisees, they was dressed up on the outside. They looked holy. They acted righteous. But they didn't show love. See, and that would deter people from coming into the kingdom when you're not walking in love. Because that might be the only thing that would draw somebody to Christ, is by the love, is by the love that Jesus has demonstrated to us, we should demonstrate to others. We shouldn't be so quick to walk in error or walk in the ways of the world, because you could be a stumbling block to your brother or to your sister. Amen. Well, I wanted to find them, but I didn't know. I wanted to find them, but I couldn't find them. Do you know where that is, Pastor Bobby? But he said, where I give you a new commandment. So, okay, well, he'll bring that out a little more. But I just wanted to bring that out, and we know it's the first of the year. We're expecting God to do big, better than 2013. Like I say, 2014 means deliverance and salvation. And I want to say to you, if you are struggling with let us lay aside every sin that so easily beset us, if there is something you're struggling with in your life and it's hindering your love relationship with Christ, it's hindering your love walk with Jesus Christ, you need someone to pray with you, send us an email. We can be contacted. We're not the kind of pastors where now you see me, now you don't. You only see me 20 minutes on Sunday, and after that we get in our little jets and we fly away. We're here for the people. That's where Jesus was. Jesus was caught among the people. He was taking care of the people's needs. What did I just say true religion was? Taking care of the widows, the orphans. That's where Jesus was. Jesus was on ground level. He wasn't so highly elevated that you couldn't touch him, or some kind of entertainer that you could only see him from afar off. Jesus was right there meeting the needs of the people. I'm sick of these celebrity preachers. They're not good for nothing but to see them on TV. People need you, preachers. That's why God called you. He said, come in my vineyard. Whosoever will, let him come. Whatsoever is right, I will pay you. But you're getting your rewards down here. Did you see what I said, where the rewards were? You're getting your rewards right here on this earth. You set yourself up so high above the people that you can't even minister to the need. So with that, I just want to say if you need prayer, send us an email and we will contact you. We will pray with you. We will break some of these. Because I know you may be saying, well, I want to go further with God. I want to be more show God, you know, in my life. But it's just these strongholds, and I just need help. So that's what we're here for. So call, write us at kogm77@gmail.com. Send us an email, and we will get back with you. So with that, I'm going to close out my segment and turn this part over to Pastor Bobby. Be blessed.
Praise the Lord, saints, and we want to thank the Lord for everything that Sister Montgomery said, and it was really a real blessing. And we are talking about love. Let's talk about love. What I'm going to do, I'm going to go over some familiar scriptures. They are familiar, but I'm also going to bring out some things in reference to these scriptures as the Lord leads. Now, I'm going to go into several verses, and I like to really deal in the word. I don't like to give you my opinion of anything because my opinion really doesn't matter. What really matters is what the Lord says about a thing, what the word of God says about something. That's what's mostly important. And one thing I would like to bring out is this. The Bible, the word of God, really is in reference to everybody. But in the New Testament, it is mostly in reference to the people of the Most High God, to the saints of God, to God's people, to the church. All right? I want to bring that out. Now, everybody through Christ Jesus has the opportunity, and God wants everybody to be saved, to be delivered, to be set free. God doesn't want anybody to be under any type of bondage, slavery, sickness, disease, possession, or oppression. That is not God's will for anyone. I want you to know that, okay? Now, we know that people get sick. You know, we know that sickness comes upon people. We know that people get diseases and all these types of things like this. But that is not truly God's will for anybody. That's why we're talking about love. Let's talk about love. Now, I'm going to go directly to the scripture here. I'm going to popular verses, but I want to bring some things out. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 13, talking about love now. It said, I may speak, 13 and 1, 1 Corinthians 13 and 1. And these scriptures, I may speak in the language of humans and of angels, but if I don't have love, listen to this, if I don't have love, I am a loud gong or a clashing cymbal. I may have the gift to speak what God has revealed, and I may understand all mysteries and have all knowledge. But listen to me. I may even have enough faith to move mountains, but if I don't have love, the scripture says I'm nothing. You see? So we can get caught up in all kind of talents. We can get caught up in our various gifts, which may be from the Lord now. Okay? But, and knowledge and all of this, all the outward expressions, but if your heart does not have the love of God in it, and you're not operating in love, then everything you do to God doesn't matter. So you see how important that love is, because love is from God and love is God, and everything that Christ did was and by and in love. You see? And we're talking about that agape love, which is unconditional. That's the kind of love that we have to have. Now, I'm going to read some more things here. I may even give away all that I have and give up my body to be burned. But if I don't have love, none of these things will help me. So what Paul is saying is I can give all kind of offerings. I can give all kind of money. I can sacrifice my physical body. But if it's not done in love, it doesn't matter. It's not even important. God doesn't even recognize it. So we're talking about love. We're talking about love, God's love. Now listen to this. Let's go to some of the attributes of love. Now the scripture, the word of God tells us that love is patient, love is kind, love is not jealous. Did you hear that? Love is not jealous. So if you're jealous and your covetousness, that is not love. You're not operating in the love of God. So that jealousy and covetousness must be dealt with. It must be placed under the blood. You got to get rid of that because you're not operating in God. You're not operating in Christ. Now let's look at something else. Now love doesn't sing its own praises. What? You mean I can't puff myself up? I can't say how great I am? I can't run along talking about how educated I am and how great I am and all this great stuff that I have done? I can't be like that? No. Not in love. Because love does not puff itself up. It's not arrogant. It's not looking at self all the time. I have to say that, all the time. Now, yes, we need to be concerned about ourselves. We need to, you know, have the kind of attitude where we want to get up and brush our teeth, comb our hair, wash, put deodorant on, put nice clothes on. We don't need to walk around raggedy, but we don't give ourselves any self aggrandizement or build ourselves up to the point where it's about me. Look at me. I'm all of this. I'm the great whatever. No. It's not self-praise. If there be any praise, let it be to Jesus Christ, our Savior. Let it be to God. If we're going to brag, let's brag on the Lord. Let's brag on the things that God has done for us. Let's brag on the love that God has presented to us through his Son, Jesus Christ. That's what we're talking about. If we're going to brag, if we're going to praise, let us brag and praise God. You see? You see how that works? I'll tell you, God is good. He said it's not rude. It's not rude, not quick to cut folks off, shut people down. No, that's not love. See, it doesn't even think about itself. Uh-oh. Wait a minute now. Now, when it says it doesn't think about itself, it means it's not, caught up in itself. Like a narcissist. You give him a mirror and he's stuck because he's in love with himself. But love is not in love with itself. Love loves others in the proper context of love. It's not irritable, doesn't keep track of wrongs, doesn't seek revenge, doesn't somebody do you wrong and you can't get that out your mind. That ain't love. That's not love. You just keep it rolling and rolling and rolling around in your mind. He did me like this. She did me like that. She said that. He said this. You can't do that because when you do that, you open the door for anger, for wrath, for bitterness. That's what you open the door for when you concentrate and dwell on how someone has wronged you, revenge, vengeance. All that comes in when you stay stuck on how someone did you wrong. But love doesn't dwell on that. It doesn't keep track of that. Not love. It isn't happy when injustice is done. In other words, love doesn't sit up and concentrate and think about wrong things to do to other people, illegal things to do to other people. Believers shouldn't be that way, thinking of wrong things to do to people, thinking of ways to break the law, thinking of ways of getting over. That shouldn't be the mind and heart of a believer because it's not love. But check this out. But love is happy with the truth. So we should be, as believers, happy with truth and righteousness. That's what love is happy with. So we should have that type of love in us that when something right is happening, that should make us happy. When justice prevails, that should make us happy. Notice I said justice and righteousness, the way it should be, according to the word of God. Everything in a believer's life should be according to the will of God. Now, love never stops being patient. Wow. Never stops believing. Never stops hoping. And it never gives up. So you see, love that comes from God can hold on regardless of the circumstance, because the scripture tells us that love never comes to an end. Everlasting. It's everlasting. The love of God is everlasting. And God proved it when he sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for us. When we didn't want to have anything to do with God, Jesus Christ still died on the cross for us. And he didn't just die a regular death. He died a horrible death. It was horrible. Crucifixion was horrible. And the crucifixion that our Lord and Savior went through for our sins was horrifying. It was terrible. It was beyond description. What they show on television is no comparison to what really happened to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ did that because he loved us and God loved us to deliver us from our sin. Now listen to this. The Bible tells us gift of speaking, what God has revealed, but it will no longer be used. There is a gift of speaking in other languages, but it will stop by itself. Yes, our knowledge is incomplete, and our ability to speak what God has revealed is incomplete. Now, that's the word. So unless God gives us the revelation, the interpretation of his word by his spirit and by the word of God, we won't get it because we are not fully and truly spiritual beings as of yet, but we are getting there, you see. And that's all involved in love. Now listen to this. Our knowledge is incomplete and our ability to speak what God has revealed is incomplete. But when what is complete comes, I'm coming straight from the word of God, 1 Corinthians 13. So I'm not just coming off the top of my head. I'm giving you what the word says. And that's why I read this way. So I want you to know that this is precisely what the Lord God is saying to his people when it comes to love. It says, Paul said, when I was a child, I spoke like a child, thought like a child, and reasoned like a child. But it said, when he grew up, when he became a mature person, when he became a grown man, says, he didn't do childish things anymore. You see, he didn't speak like a child anymore. He didn't act like a child anymore. His love matured. He didn't have a childish love anymore, that likeness. He grew to understand what the love of God really was and what it consists of, and the Spirit of God revealed it to him. See, now, right, he says right now, we're looking through a blurred mirror. We see a blurred image in a mirror. We don't see things as clear as they should be because we are still in this fleshly body. But we can seek maturity through Christ, exercising the love of Christ. He says, then we will see very clearly. Now, my knowledge is incomplete, and our knowledge is incomplete. But it says, then I will have complete knowledge as God has complete knowledge of me. So look, these things remain. These three things remain. And we're talking about love. And it's faith, hope, and love. But the best one of these is love. Now, we're talking about love. Now, I just went to that common chapter. They call it the love chapter, but I wanted to bring that out. Now, I want to bring something out in reference to love also. And this will not take very long, but I'm going to 1 John because of something about love. When you love somebody, you will do a lot for someone that you love. When you love somebody, you don't want to hurt that person. Now, you might hurt that person, but you don't want to do it willingly. You don't have a desire to just go around hurting someone that you love. That's not how love works. Love also causes you to act a certain way around the person that you love. Now, I'm going to get into that. Now, going to 1 John 2. Love will cause you in many times to be obedient. Now, we know that you can be forced to obey someone against your will, but that's not love. That's force. And many times when you are forced to do something, you don't love that person. But when you love that person, you don't have to be forced to do anything. You'll do it willingly. And that's what we're talking about now. Now, in John, 1 John 2, starting in the third verse, it says, it says, we are sure that we know Christ if we obey his commandments. The person who says, I know him, but doesn't obey his commandments is a liar. The truth isn't in that person, but whoever obeys what Christ says is the kind of person in whom God's love is perfected. You see? That's how we know we are in Christ. Those who say that they live in him must live the same way he lived, or the same way Christ lived. Now, John said he was giving us a new commandment, but it's really not a new commandment. It's an old commandment, but it says, I'm writing to give you a new commandment. It's the truth that exists in Christ and in you. The darkness is fading, and the true light is already shining. Now, John said, those who say that they are in the light but hate other believers, are still in the dark. That's what he says. Those who love other believers live in the light. We're talking about love. Nothing will destroy the faith of those who live in the light. Those who hate other believers are in the dark and live in the dark. They don't know where they're going because they can't see in the dark. Now, the scripture in the Bible tells us, now I just read 1 Corinthians, and it talks about what love is. In John, it gives another definition of what love is. You can't love and hate at the same time. You either love or you hate. Now, you can dislike somebody, but God tells us we should love everyone. Now, when you say love everyone, that means that you don't hate anybody. Hate is a strong word. Love is a strong word. But the Lord commends us to love, and he really commends us to love our brothers and sisters in Christ more so, greatly, because the world looks at that. All right? Now, another thing, love is like this. God says who we should love. Now, God also says what we shouldn't love. And I'm going to get into that. The Bible says, I'm writing to you, dear children, because your sins are forgiven through Christ. We're still talking about love. I'm writing to you, fathers, because you know Christ who has existed from the beginning. I'm writing to you, young people, listen, because you have won the victory over the evil one. I've written to you, children, because you know the Father. I've written to you, fathers, because you know Christ who has existed from the beginning. We're talking about love now. I've written to you, young people, because you are strong and God's word lives in you. You have won the victory over the evil one. So you see, John and God is dealing with every aspect of every generation of believers from the old to the young and everyone in between. And he's talking about love, talking about your growth, and he's talking about how God has set you free in various areas. But this is something else that the Lord is saying. What the Lord is saying in reference to love, yes, you love each other. You love the saints. You love the word of God. You love Christ Jesus. You love God. But you don't love the world and what it offers. You don't love the world and what it offers. Don't be deceived by the world. Don't be deceived by the bling bling. Don't be deceived by the money and the various offers that the world puts out there. Those who love the world don't have the Father's love in them. Did you hear what I'm saying? If you call yourself a believer and you love the world, you don't have the Father's love in you. Now, that's the word. Not everything that the world offers, listen, physical gratification, greed, and extravagant lifestyles doesn't come from the Father. It comes from the world. And the world and its evil desires are passing away. But the person who does what God wants lives forever. You see that? You see that? You have to be careful on who you love, on what you love, on what you love, where your love is centered. We have to be careful with that. Because you have to be careful because the world can offer you something that seems like love, but it is not, and it will pull you away from God. Now, let me talk about something else here, and then I'm going to be getting out of your way. I want to bring this out. Now, in James 1, and I'm going to start at 13 and read down through this thing a little bit. It says, "Blessed." Now, we're still talking about love now. Love covers a whole lot of things. Love is just not, you know, everything wonderful, everything good. Because you can love somebody and go through some hard times with that person, but love is still there. So let me bring this out. James 1 and 12. Blessed are those who endure when they are tested. When they pass the test, listen, when they pass the test, they will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who what? Who love him. To those who love him. You see how it goes back to love? So this love that we're talking about is not empty. All right. When someone is tempted, he shouldn't say that God is tempting him. God can't be tempted by evil, and God doesn't tempt anyone. Everyone is tempted by his own desires as they lure him away and trap him. Then desire becomes pregnant and gives birth to sin. When sin grows up, it gives birth to death. All right, did you hear that? But when you love God, there's benefits for that. Now, I'm going to read a little more of James, and then I'm going to close out. Now, my dear brothers and sisters, don't be fooled. Every good present and every perfect gift comes from above, from the Father who made the sun, moon, and stars. The Father doesn't change like the shifting shadows produced by the sun and the moon. God decided to give us life through the word of truth to make us his most important creatures. That's how God loved us. He didn't love us and then just cast us aside. He loved us and made a way for us through everything. That's how love works. Love helps. Love does good things for people, not evil. And God does good things for people. Why? Because he loves us. Now, let me read this, and then I'll stop it. Remember this, my dear brothers and sisters. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak. Sister Montgomery brought this out earlier. And should not get angry easily. An angry person doesn't do what God approves of. You do things according to your flesh when you get angry, most of the time. So get rid of all immoral behavior and all the wicked things you do. Humbly accept the word that God has placed in you. This word can save you. Do what God's word says. And don't just listen to it. And don't just fool yourself. All right? Now I'm going to drop down to 26 and say, if a person thinks that his religious but can't control his tongue, he is fooling himself. That person's religion is worthless. Pure, unstained religion, according to God the Father, our Father, is to take care of orphans and widows when they suffer and do remain uncorrupted by this world. Now, at that, I'm getting ready to close it out. But you see, love, you love God, you love self, you love others, and then you love others less fortunate than yourself. Now, that's what love is about. That's what it's about. It's not about your denomination so much. It's not about your religion so much. It's not about what you call yourself so much. It's about your obedience to God and doing what God says to do and loving God. Because when you love God, you will love yourself. When you love yourself, you will love others, and you will do what God asks you to do because you love him. It's that simple. It's not hard. It's not grievous. As I said earlier, when you love somebody, it's not hard to do for them. When you love people, it's not hard to help people. When you love God, it's not grievous to study his word, to read his word, to pray, to seek God. It's not hard. We're talking about love. We're not talking about this phileo love, this eros love. We're not talking about that. We're not talking about this you love somebody when they're doing stuff for you, and when they stop doing things for you, you don't care. Now, we're talking about the love of God that surpasses everything. It surpasses all our understanding. So we should have that kind of love in us. If we have Christ in us, we will have that kind of love in us. And we will manifest that love by how we treat each other and how we treat others, period. So that's it. So we're talking about love, which is a fruit of the Spirit, in which if we don't have love, then nothing else matters as far as God is concerned. Now, you think you can fake that, but God knows. He does. You can fake that you love someone, but God knows. You can be bitter and have all that in your heart, which is not love, but God knows. So what are you going to do? What will you do? I'll tell you, we will see, continue to walk in God's love, bless God's people, try to do all we can to set people free through the Spirit of God now, through the Holy Ghost, and by His Word, through Christ Jesus and the Holy Spirit. And we can move on into things of God and be a blessing to God's people. And at that, I'm going to close it out. I would like to say the next time that we meet you, we're going to be talking about the promises of God. We're going to always kind of dwell in the fruit of the Spirit, because without the fruit of the Spirit and without love, we can't really do anything, because we operate in Christ Jesus by His Holy Ghost, by His Holy Spirit. But the next time we speak to you or see you, or you're listening to us, we'll be talking about the promise of God. So right now we're going to close off. Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ, we thank you for everyone that listened to the program tonight. Father God, we ask right now that you bless them, that you keep them. Give them the true revelation of your word. Touch their minds, touch their hearts. We come against all spirits of oppression, depression, sickness, disease. We bind it up and we cast it out right now by the blood and in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. You foul, unclean spirits, loose them right now in Jesus' name. The blood of Jesus prevail against you. You will not hinder and bind up God's people in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. We look forward to hearing from you next time on the program. We will be talking about the promises of God and the manifestation of the promises of God in your life and the things that you would need to do for those things to be fulfilled in your life. Be blessed. We'll see you next time. We'll be looking forward to you coming to the program next time. Be blessed. Be blessed. Be blessed.